Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SMOOTH at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SMOOTH. Enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All righty, the NFL draft is here, hour number three of our radio program, and what a nice surprise this is. The Super Bowl winning head coach, Brian Billick, kind enough to join us right now in studio on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network on behalf of Signal Relief. Coach, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
So this time of the year, what kind of memories does it bring back for you, and kind of take me behind the scenes what this is like for a coach on draft night?
Wow, they are such great memories because, you know, the draft, the great thing about the draft, it really is the beginning of your year. Obviously, you've had a lot of work leading up to it, but when you add talent to the organization, then the schedule will come out next 2 weeks or so, and now you're set. Now you know exactly everything's in place, and you go forward with it. And anytime you're adding talent, young talent to your team, it's exciting. Now it's taken on a whole new level when you're talking about the draft and the interest in draft. I mean, it's amazing. There'll be close to 60 million people watch the draft over the three networks over the next 3 days. There could be upwards of 15 million people watching tonight in the first round. Now, keep in mind that that 15 million will outdraw NBA and NHL playoff games. Major League, I mean, the interest in it, and so, you know, the fans, whether it's because of fantasy or whatever, you're adding that talent to it. Everybody knows about the players. Everybody knows about everything. It's an exciting time.
So I'm always a sucker for after the first round is over after the entire draft is over, the teams now, they pump out their social media content, and you see the owner, you see the coach, you see the GM have these emotional phone calls. Is there one phone call or two all these years later that still stick out to you with a player that you guys drafted?
Well, you know, that began because, and I think it went back to the early days in Cleveland where they drafted a guy that had died. He had actually died, and they didn't realize, this is in the old days. Mm-hmm. So people started, you know, before I draft, I'm going to talk to a guy. Yeah. I want to know he's okay, wasn't in a car accident or whatever. But that too is an emotional time because you, particularly whether it's the first round pick, which everybody sees and watches, they're in the green room or whatever, or later guys that have waited now, second round, third round, am I going to get the call? So when you make those calls to the sixth round guy, or the late second round guy, the third round guy, the fourth round guy, that's when it really gets exciting because now they've waited, they weren't sure how high they were going to go. And they get that call, and all of a sudden you've changed their world, their dream, their life's dream to play in the National Football League. And it becomes real to them. Now, whether they make the team or not, that's a whole nother thing. But that's an exciting call.
talking to Brian Billick right now. All right, let's get to the quarterbacks. I have to do these commentaries that air to all of our stations around the country. And the commentary I did today was, it feels like 90, 95% of the time with the draft, all we talk about are quarterbacks, quarterbacks, quarterbacks. When you look at Caleb Williams, he's going to be the number one overall pick. He has the task of changing the Bears franchise. The Bears finally getting right their franchise quarterback. What do you see with Caleb Williams?
Just like Justin Fields, right? I mean, he was going to be that guy. The view I have on the quarterbacks, there's absolutely no reason. This is a talented field. And there's absolutely no reason these guys shouldn't be good pros. The fact of the matter is, half of them are going to fail. That's just the history of it. And it's a 50-50 proposition. Now, it's above my pay grade to tell you which of these guys are going to be successful and which one aren't. They all have the basic abilities to be good. The film supports it. A lot of it has to do with where they go, how they developed. But at the end of the day, do they have that ability that translates into the NFL? And you don't know until you get them. Yeah, I had one scout tell me the most difficult thing is of the 350-some-odd throws a player might make is in a given year, only about 15 to 20% are NFL throws, films, throws that you can look at and say, yes, these are throws he's going to make or have to make in the NFL. So by that number, you look at it, and so you're deciding on whether to put your franchise, your future, on the line by taking a guy in the first round on about 50 throws. Is that enough to extrapolate? And sometimes, yeah, sometimes no. There's absolutely no reason these guys across the board shouldn't be good pros. But half of them are going to fail.
So with what you just said about the film, which I think it's fascinating, and right, you got to coach a team during the season. You have other people doing the scouting and trying to figure out who's the best and all that. I know that it always has come down to if the coach loves the player or not, but you do have some input in that kind of process. When you sit down, when you used to talk to some of these quarterbacks, what do you look for when you just have these conversations and these meetings and meetings and meetings that just never end with these players?
That is the tough part, too, because the physical part you can see. That's easy to quantify. Okay, yeah, he's got this kind of arm strength. He can run around. He can do this, has this kind of vision. But it's that temperament. And they're all very, you know, these typical quarterbacks are going to be strong personalities. You can see the good natural leadership in them. But you've got to kind of dig past that to see, is this guy that I really want to be a partner with? And there's a lot of different ways that you can kind of scratch through it. They're all very prepared now, too, via their agents, and particularly today. They're well-schooled. They sit down. They're polished. They know how to answer certain questions that you're going to put to them. You try to kind of cut through that to see how competitive is this guy? How's he going to handle the pressure? How's he going to make the transition into the NFL? Is he a small school guy from a small environment, small town, that now is going to get thrown into New York or Chicago or San Francisco or Dallas? How's he going to handle that? That's a lot, and particularly with a limited amount of time, particularly as the coach. I may only have, you know, a small window to visit with the guy. That's where you really got to count on your coaches, or I should say your scouts, to have done their homework, to have done the background on the guy, talk to family members, friends, other teammates, the equipment guy, just to find out what kind of guy is this, what's he really like, what is his character, because that's going to affect his ability to succeed as much as anything physically.
Nowadays, as we're joined in the studio on the Zach Gelb Show by Brian Billick, we, you know, the running and the mobility part of the quarterback position is so important. Like, before the season, everyone said, Caleb Williams, Drake May going to be 1-2. Now, Drake May has athleticism, he has mobility, but then Jaden Daniels goes out there and he rushes for 1,100 yards and tosses 40 touchdowns, and boom, it's expected Daniels is going to go 2 tonight and May is going to go 3. How much of an importance now do you put on it for guys running the football out of the quarterback position?
Well, that's two different questions, running the ball versus athleticism. Today's game, you have to have a certain athleticism, the ability to work within the pocket, the ability to extend plays, not necessarily maybe running the ball, but getting outside the pocket, throwing off a platform, being able to perform outside of that pristine pocket. That ability to just sit.
Like Mahomes, he runs pretty much sideline to sideline. He's not usually running down the field.
And he's a perfect example because he's a guy that can also hurt you running the ball down the field. But we do have a lot of quarterbacks that element, that ability to run the ball, it's important because it's an adjunct. The question is, but can he beat you from the pocket? Now, maybe he's a good enough runner. Lamar Jackson's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. But you got to buy into that. You got to say, okay, we're comfortable with him running the ball 150, 160, 170 times. That's a non-traditional view because can he last? Can he stay healthy enough? So the running quarterback, that's a nice adjunct, but the athleticism within the pocket is more important. And these guys have that. Joe Burrow is an excellent athletic quarterback. Now, he's not going to run 70, 80 times and put a bunch of yards on it, but he can move around the pocket. Aaron Rodgers is one of the most athletic and gifted moving within the pocket and extending the play, because that's what you're really doing. You're breaking down a defense and extending the play by buying time, by moving around the pocket. So that athleticism is an absolute premium. The old, you know, stable, straight-legged, stiff quarterback, those days are gone, clearly. There has to be a certain amount of athleticism. But does that make Jaden Daniels a better quarterback, a more productive quarterback, because he adds those running yards, than the guys that do it that are athletic but do it more within the pocket? That's a good question. Then the other question is, okay, but can he stay healthy? That's the next question.
That's the only concern I have with Daniels.
Exactly right, and legitimately so.
He's not a big guy. Like, no. You look at him, he's frail.
But he knows, like Lamar Jackson, he knows how to avoid the hit. He can stay. It's not a problem until it's a problem.
Yeah, because Lamar doesn't take, as much as he runs the ball,
correct,
he doesn't take that many hits.
But missed last six games.
Yeah, no, he's had injuries.
And that's not fair to put an indictment on him, because any quarterback can get hurt. Joe Burrow was hurt for a lot of part of the season. But you are tempting Providence if you're going to buy into that kind of guy, and how long can he do that and stay healthy? That's really the big question. And then the key thing, where a lot of teams will make a mistake, is they'll buy into that athleticism, but then try to limit him. But we don't want him carrying the ball 10, 12 times a game. That's why you have to give Baltimore great credit for when they took Lamar Jackson and they bought in. They said, no, we're committed. If he we're going to let him be him, and he's going to carry the ball 160, 170 times, you got to buy into the second part of the equation.
The two storylines that I'm most fascinated to see tonight, who Minnesota ends up getting at quarterback. No Kirk Cousins. They're sitting there at 11. They also made a trade before the draft, so they have 23 as well. So you have ammunition to move up. I kind of feel like the Patriots are going to keep the pick at 3 and take a quarterback. So that 4 and 5 range before the Giants pick at 6, because I think if one of the 4 top quarterbacks are there, you will see the Giants take a quarterback. I'm fascinated to see what Minnesota does tonight.
Yeah, and you do that, you have to rely on your evaluation, your analysis. That what that tells me is they're comfortable with 4 or 5 of these guys. You either move all the way up and spend all the resources for that, because you see that, and some teams will do that. You see there's a real difference between the second and third guy. But when you move into the position that Minnesota has, that tells me, yeah, you may see them move up to get a particular guy, but that tells me they're very comfortable with 4 or 5 of these guys, all of them, and that they're going to be as comfortable with a Michael Penix as they would be with a J.J. McCarthy, because they think one of these guys is going to find his way back to that position.
Yeah, Brian Billick here with us. Other players like a Marvin Harrison Jr., I think he's can't miss. You have the family lineage there. Is that something? Like, we talk about that. We're like, oh, his dad was a great player. Now he's a great player in college. How important is the family lineage at all?
To a degree, good bloodlines are always good, you know. And the fact that he's been around it. He's been around the game his whole life. That's a comfort zone for me. That growing up around his dad, obviously went to a high-profile program at Ohio State. So he's comfortable in that role. He's seen it. He's lived it. And that's very important, because a lot of times you can get young, gifted athletes that come in, and that role can overwhelm them. And they step onto the big stage, and all of a sudden it is a lock in the NFL or in a big city. So, yeah, that's certainly a comfort zone that he has that kind of background. And what's interesting, again, in this draft is, because of the quarterback situation, some awfully good players, whether it be a Harrison, whether it's the tackle Alt, are going to get pushed back to some teams that, you know, realistically could not anticipate that they were going to be available where they're picking. So that means some pretty good athletes are going to get pushed back into a good position.
Oh, it's funny you said that, because I was telling you earlier how I did this commentary, how it's all quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Right. The three players I actually feel most confident on aren't even quarterbacks. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. It's Joe Alt, the offensive lineman at Notre Dame. And then it's Roma Dunze, the wide receiver out of Washington. So it's a little bit interesting how much coverage we spend on the quarterbacks than compared to maybe how you feel about who's going to be the best players in the next level. When it comes to leaks, and, you know, I now know everyone has a platform now. Like, are teams, like, you hear this idea that teams leak out information maybe to have a player fall that they want to get. Is that stuff accurate? Do we just kind of make
absolutely. Too much of that? Right now, this is a giant game of liar's poker. You can believe nothing of what you hear from anybody in the NFL right now, because they're pushing and prodding, and there's a lot of different things that, you know, misinformation. Everybody's on the phone right now talking to one another, and with all the relationships you have, trying to be as discreet as you can to try to glean any idea about the direction they might go, at the same time not giving out any information that you have. So right now there's a lot, and then you throw in the agents that then also are going to, you know, leak out a lot of information or perspectives. And now, because of social media, and there's just so many, I mean, how many people have mock drafts?
That's wild.
And 99.9% of them are people that don't know a quarterback from a quarter pounder. Okay. But they base it on, I read this, I hear that. None of them have done the film work. None of them have based it. And that's fine too, that you take accumulation of, well, I've heard this. I've
guy
heard
runs
this.
A quick 40, boom, first-round pick.
Like they say, you hear it all the time in the last couple of months. Well, this guy has zoomed up the draft board. No, he hasn't. He's always been there. You're just now finding out about it. The draft gurus and the guys that put these mock drafts together are just now becoming aware of guys that the clubs have known all along how good they were, where they were going to rank. That board has been set for a long time. Now, there are some people out there that do an outstanding job. Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network.
Great.
Daniel worked for us in Baltimore. He is outstanding. Mike Mayock used to be outstanding because they do the work. You know, Charles Davis is one of the smartest guys I've ever been around. He sees the college game. He's been around. So there are a lot of guys out there that do put in the work and have a great perspective. The majority of people, and that's fine too. It's fair enough. It's fantasy football. They're just trading on, well, I read this, I read that, I saw this, I saw that written, and put out, well, this is how I see it. Well, that's fair. That's great. It's exciting. It's not necessarily the most legitimate perspective, but it's fun to follow.
Where are you at with J.J. McCarthy? Because the confusing part with that is last year and the last few years, they've had such great offensive line. They had such great running backs. They didn't need to throw the ball 30, 35 times a game.
Anytime you take a quarterback from a program that is that dominant, it's a little bit of a concern because he is surrounded by great talent. Now, you don't nix him for that necessarily. And J.J. McCarthy did what they told him to do, and it won a national champion. Has his whole career. In terms of, what is he, 27-1 or something like that, two high school championships. And so that's a pretty good pedigree. I'm going to scare you. For those that like J.J. McCarthy, I'm going to scare you to hear. Again, it's the 50-50. I think I see some Joe Bauer in him. I also see a Zach Jones. Mm. It could be either one. You know, is he that system quarterback with some great people around him? Now, certainly Bowers came out of tremendous talent at LSU, but I don't know. He has all the physical tools. Seems to have the right demeanor. He's got the pedigree. There's no reason, absolutely no reason, why he shouldn't come in and be a great pro. But said the same thing about Zach Jones.
Wrap it up with Brian Billick. Tell me what you're doing about with Signal Relief today.
This is people need to check this out. You need to go to signalrelief.com. This is the next step in pain mediation. It really is. It's a phenomenal product. It's reusable. You put it where you need it. It's not an icy patch or a TENS patch. It's no goo, no ointment. It works with the electrical signals in your body, hence Signal Relief. I mean, pain is nothing more than an electrical signal to your brain. We say put it between the brain and the pain. It mitigates that signal, allows you to get and rehab through. Motion is medicine. The more you do, the better you feel. You can work through that intermittent pain that we always have. I love golf. I play 18 holes of golf, my lower back, okay? I put it on my lower back or actually just above it. Now it allows me to do those other things, to rehab, to push past that pain, because that's where the real rehab comes from, pushing past the pain, working the joint, working the muscle. Go to signalrelief.com. Check it out. Check out the science behind it. It's brilliant. It makes sense. It's the next wave of technology that you can use in putting you back in the game. Like I said, it's reusable up to a year, so it's very affordable. You put it where you need it. It's 100% money-back guarantee. Go to signalrelief.com, put in promo code COACH. You get 20% off. People with whatever intermittent pain or serious pain need to check this out, Signal Relief.
The last thing I want to ask you. So you have the Bengals who have a Super Bowl window. You have the 49ers, obviously, a Super Bowl window. Brandon Ayuk wants a new contract. There's been trade talk. T. Higgins on the franchise tag. He's demanded a trade. As a coach, I know there's GMs, you got agents, everyone else involved. How do you kind of weather the storm when a player's in a contract dispute and starts to want out? Because you know you want to keep him to try to go win that championship.
But that's the name of the game, the NFL. By Denny Green, God rest his soul, my mentor, always said, there's a time for pay and there's a time for play. Well, now's the time for pay, and that's what you're focused on. If you've got a top-caliber quarterback, you've got a window. And there's going to be transition in players. The great ones will absorb and raise the level of the other players around them. You got to know, you can't pay everybody. The pie is only so big. And so at the end of the day, that's the price you're going to pay, particularly if you have a good quarterback that extends that window, which means you've got a pretty good window right now to work through. You're going to go through a number of iterations on your team, and that's just the way it is. You got to rely on your system that got you that good player. Well, we can get another good player because at the end of the day, you can't pay everybody.
So you wouldn't be heartbroken if, let's say, Higgins or get traded tonight.
You hate to see talent walk out the building. You hate to see good players, good guys walk out the building. But that's the nature of the league.
The business,
yeah. Yeah, and like Dan Rooney used to say, Mr. Rooney years ago, said, I don't mind overpaying for a good player. I just don't want to overpay for a bad player.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing, and it's the hardest thing because you've worked and you've been through the baptism of fire with these players, and you can't pay for past performance.
It's the toughest part.
You can only pay for performance going forward. And that's where, because you want to. You want them to be a part of the team, but you got to keep that in mind. You got to pay for what is on the horizon, not what happened before.
You think Belichick has coached his last game?
That's hard to imagine. That's all this guy's ever done. There are going to be some team that recognizes that experience suits them. It's not for everybody, because regardless of what they say, at the end of the day, it's going to be Bill Belichick's show. So it's going to be a unique owner and a general manager that brings that on, knowing that at the end of the day, we answer to him. And whether they're willing to do that or not, he certainly has the pedigree. He's a lifer. It's all he's ever done.
Everyone says, a lot of people are saying the Cowboys, but Jerry Jones runs the show there.
That will be an interesting marriage. Now, Jerry Jones will make that deal if he thinks he can win and that they'll work it out. But those two personalities, that would be worth the price of admission. We'll have to wait and see the rest of the story on that one.
He's Coach Billick. Coach, thanks so much. Once again, check it out. Signal Relief. We'll take a timeout. I know Coach loves these mock drafts. I'm going to give you my final mock draft.
Do it,
man. We return in 5 minutes.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SMOOTH at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SMOOTH. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yo, yo, that's right. It is the Infinity Sports Network. What a last fun 90 minutes or so with Perloff, obviously joining us in studio, and then a surprise out of nowhere. We saw Brian Billick walking around the hallways there. We're like, oh, coach, you want to come on for 20 minutes? Sure. So appreciate him jumping on board with us. I'm going to release right now my latest top 10 mock draft. In at number one, this is the bold take. I can't believe I am making this selection with the first pick of the 2024 NFL draft. The Chicago Bears select quarterback Caleb Williams, USC. In at number two, the Washington Commanders select a guy that I really, really wanted on my football team. That is Jaden Daniels. Now, here's the question. When you fall in love and you want a player on your team, and then another team gets that player, right? Patriots picking at three, Commanders at two. Do I now root against Jaden Daniels? Because I'm going to be really down in the dumps if, let's say, the Patriots get Drake May and he turns out to be a bust, and then the guy that I really wanted is Jaden Daniels. Like, if it turns out to be Patriots get May, Commanders get Daniels, and I've been not all in, clearly, on Drake May, if I end up being wrong and Drake May turns out to be generational, like a stud, I'm happy to have egg on my face in that one. But should I be rooting for Jaden Daniels to fail with the Commanders?
Absolutely. You should be rooting for every player that's not on the Patriots to fail in the NFL.
Really?
I root against every player not on the Chiefs.
Yeah, but can we stop with this Chiefs act that you have? We all know you're not a Chiefs fan. You're a Jet fan. All right? Like, let's stop with you pretending that you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
But yeah, I think you should like just because you fall in love with a guy because you fall in love with Jaden Daniels because you want your team to pick him. You're not falling in love with Jaden Daniels because you just love Jaden Daniels.
But you know why I'm not going to root against Jaden Daniels? I want the Commander fan, but you know the history of that fan base. I want them to make a triumphant return. I went to a game in Landover, Maryland. It was the last day I was at what we used to call our network, CBS Sports Radio, before I went to Sirius for 3 months, and then they begged me to come back here. I remember I resigned at the 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time shift. Everyone knew it. I announced it, though, on the air. And I took a train down that morning, and I went to Landover, Maryland with my buddy, I think they were the Redskins at the time. I don't think they were the football team yet. And we ended up going to that Patriots-Redskins game. The thing was, though, that stadium, it's a dump of a stadium. There were no fans of the home team there. And it's one thing like, all right, that's the Patriots, right? Everyone was showing up. There were like a weird amount of Cowboys fans there. So the first two picks of the draft, you have the Bears, who have never like had a quarterback, and you have the Commanders, who their fan base, there was apathy for so many years with the end of Daniel Snyder. So I hope those two quarterbacks are successful because I want to see the fan bases enjoy football once again like the way that I've enjoyed football. So that's why I'll be rooting for Jaden Daniels because I'm a good person, Samter.
I mean, why you feel any connection to another team's fan base? Like, I guess maybe
that's
I want
good for the league. It's good for the sport. It's good for what we do.
Who cares? You're a Patriots fan. Are you an NFL fan? Are you going to be like Rob Lowe wearing an NFL hat at a football game? You're not a fan of, like, the league. You're a fan of a team in the league.
Yes, but I love the NFL. And the NFL is better when you have a fan base that used to be one of the best fan bases around actually involved because their owner hasn't driven them out of the sport. They deserve to have a good player.
It makes you happier when that happens? It makes you happier
Does
when a fan base has been
yes.
down?
Yes.
That's weird.
I've one of my good friends is a fan of that football team.
That's weird.
I would like to see him have some good moments in his life. When
I mean, if you're doing it for a specific person that you're a friend with, sure, you want to see your friend happy. But I'm not, like, rooting for a guy that my team didn't get to draft because I liked him before the draft, and now he's on a different team. No, now he's the enemy.
But the Commanders have no impact. They have no impact. They have no impact on me. It's not like they're going to the Jets.
The Commanders and Patriots are in the Super Bowl, and now
that's different.
I love Jaden Daniels.
But that's different. I'm not rooting for him against my team in the Super Bowl. I'm talking about just for him to be a successful player or not.
Week seven, Commanders, right. Patriots.
Stu, do me a favor.
You know what you are? You're LeBron James.
Do me a favor, Stu. Just Tony Reale is Mike for a second. Bears 1, Caleb Williams. Commanders 2, Jaden Daniels. 3, Patriots, Drake May. And let me make myself abundantly clear with Drake May. You sit him for bare minimum 10 to 12 games this year. The only way he gets on the field before sometime in November is if they pull off a trade for Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins. Which, Elliot Wolf, you want me to like you, Elliot Wolf? Tell Jonathan Kraft to shut the bleep up tonight. You take Drake May at 3 and then use that second round pick to go find a way to get Ayuk or T. Higgins. You're willing to spend the money for Calvin Ridley. So go spend the money for those guys and give up the draft capital. In at number 4, the best player in the draft, Marvin Harrison Jr. We have our first trade in at 5. I do think the Giants are going to get jumped by the Minnesota Vikings. If the Patriots are trading the pick at 3, I only want them to trade it with the Giants because they fall down to 6 and they get the Giants next year first-round pick. I think the Giants are going to be bad this year. For Minnesota, you're getting 11. You're getting 23 and probably next year's one. None of those picks, to me, are going to be in the top 10. So I think the Vikings are desperate. I do believe the Vikings trade up. I think the Chargers fall back, and Minnesota ends up snagging J.J. McCarthy. In at number 6, I have a change. I think Perloff has won me over here. I believe that Roma Dunze is the better player. It seems like forever Malik Nabers has been mocked as either the first or second best receiver, more likely the second best receiver in this draft class. Knowing Joe Shane the way that I do, and this I did not talk to Joe Shane or anything like that, I just feel like the more that Perloff said, and you hear where this stuff leaks out from, that Roma Dunze then is the pick if McCarthy's off the board at 6 for the New York Giants. So there's the change. Tennessee, they're going with Joe Alt. I think, like, if Joe Alt is not on Tennessee come tomorrow, that will be my biggest surprise of the first round. I know you've had some other players on the offensive line be projected, but I'd be really surprised if Joe Alt isn't on Tennessee. And for people thinking that, oh, maybe Harbaugh will snag him with the Chargers, maybe on a trade back if he starts to fall. But Joe Alt told us the other day he didn't have a top 30 visit with the Los Angeles Chargers. Falcons, I think with Malik Nabers there, that's the Malik Nabers landing spot. Bears end up taking Dallas Turner out of Alabama. And then the Jets at 10. I think the Jets want one of these 3 wide receivers. If they're all off the board, you know, could they go offensive lineman? Could they trade back? Yeah. Even though I'm not a huge fan of this guy projecting into the NFL, I do believe this pick has Aaron Rodgers and his fingertips will be all over it. They'll go Brock Bowers out of Georgia. So the last mock draft that I'm giving you, Bears Caleb Williams, Commanders Jaden Daniels, Patriots Drake May, Cardinals Marvin Harrison Jr., Vikings trade up, they get J.J. McCarthy. Giants go Roma Dunze. Tennessee goes Joe Alt. Atlanta goes to Malik Nabers. Bears select Dallas Turner. And then the New York Sampters, the JTS Jets, they do rock and roll with Brock Bowers. They rock out with their Brock out. All righty, we will take a time out here on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, we have to tell you about some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. You will hear from Caleb Williams. You will hear from J.J. McCarthy. You'll hear from Dave Canales. And so many more. We got to get to a news brief. Update time first, though. Here he is, the Ackman.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Alrighty, we will get to a news brief in just a second to wrap up the show. It is the Zach Gelb Show. But there is a big report out there. Diana Rossini, senior NFL insider for The Athletic. Just make sure this is her actual Twitter. It is. The 49ers have had conversations with teams, including with one picking in the top 10, about trading either of their prize wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk, or my best friend, Deebo Samuel, in an effort to move up in the first round per sources. So I understand the report is one of the teams that they called are in the top 10. So it doesn't mean that the 49ers can't still trade up and it not be in the top 10. Like, it could be outside of the top 10. I wonder if this means, and once again, this could be a bunch of hot air too. I wonder if this means, because I've said it, right? Ayuk is the better wide receiver. Debo's the better all-around player. If maybe the 49ers, who know they have to pay Brandon Ayuk a new contract soon, believe it's better to pay Brandon Ayuk and then they can move up and get another wide receiver, pay Ayuk, and then you trade Deebo Samuel, and that frees up some cap space. I guess that is on the table. Now, they could still trade Ayuk, and they could find a way to get into the top 10. But let me just throw around this simple question. Who's the team in the top 10 that they've talked to? Because if you're moving up into the top 10, it doesn't necessarily mean that the 49ers are hell-bent on getting a wide receiver. Maybe they think there's another position that they need. So I'll give you the teams in the top 10, and then Stu and Samter, you give me your best guess, because I have my best educated guess on this. Bears are at 1, Commanders are at 2, Patriots are at 3. Let's do this. Let's rule out 1, 2, and 3. I think it's safe to say we know Caleb Williams going 1, Jaden Daniels going 2, and either the Patriots are going to take a quarterback or 3, or someone's going to move up at 3 to take a quarterback. And I don't believe that the San Francisco 49ers are going to trade, here's the hot take of the day, Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk to go get Drake May when Brock Purdy, you just did strike somewhat gold in the seventh round, Mr. Irrelevant. So from 4 to 10, it's the Cardinals, it's the Chargers, it's the Giants, it's the Titans, it's the Falcons, the Bears, and the Jets. Which team in the top 10 did the 49ers have a conversation with about potentially them moving into the top 10 and in return them trading either Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel? Stu?
I believe it is the New York Jets, so they could pair, you know, some type of playmaker with Aaron Rodgers, a veteran playmaker like Deebo or Ayuk.
So you'd have Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and Ayuk or Deebo Samuel for... See, Samter, if this happens, by the way, you're not allowed to go jump back on the Jets bandwagon, okay? I don't want to hear you start claiming the Jets again. That was my first thought as well, still. Samter, when you went through that those list of teams, was it the Jets as well that you first jumped to?
Go Chiefs. No, Chargers are the first thing that came to my mind. Harbaugh, with that quarterback, wants to not have a rookie receiver as his top option. He wants a veteran who he can trust. Mm-hmm. He has a relationship with the 49ers. So I feel
I don't know if that's a good relationship.
Well, Balky's gone. I mean, he has a relationship with a lot of people in that organization. Yeah. The problem that he had was with Balky, and Balky's out of there, so I don't think that's a problem now. I think that the Chargers make the most sense for the 49ers to move up, and the Chargers can get a star wide receiver to put with that star quarterback and do something with it and maybe get other draft capital to go along with it.
And just trying to figure this out, I don't think the Cardinals should do this. Take Marvin Harrison Jr. The Chargers could be in play. If a quarterback's not there, maybe the Giants, but I think they would just draft the wide receiver in a Dunze or Neighbors who's ever available in that spot, if not both. I don't think it's Tennessee, right? They have D-Hop, and they just signed Calvin Ridley. I don't believe it's the Bears, because remember, they just traded for Keenan Allen, and they have DJ Moore. They could draft a wide receiver, but to then pay another wide receiver, I don't see that. If it's not the Jets, if it's not the Chargers, you know it could be? It could be Atlanta. Atlanta would be fun. Imagine putting Deebo in that offense with Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. Oh, hello. That would be super duper fun. I think we narrowed it down here. Chargers, Falcons, or the Jets, if it's one of these teams in the top 10, I think those would be the only three potential landing spots. Alrighty, let's update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's start off with Caleb Williams. We know he's going to be the number one overall pick tonight. The Bears are picking at 9 again. Who does he think the Bears should draft?
I was able to choose. If I was picking number one of the Bears, I'd probably go Olufoshanu because I know he put his life on the line for me. Protected me, and then, geez, I probably go one of the top three wide receivers. Whoever's there
now. So in at number 9, if you're like, oh, why did he mention Olu? It's not crazy. We've seen him mocked in the top 10. They were high school teammates together. But the wide receivers, I don't think the Bears need another wide receiver, but it could be an added luxury that if one of those guys in the top 3, Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, or Malik Nabers falls, then they'll take him. If not, I think they do go on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think they're going to go offensive line because the Bears are pretty solid on the left and right side for the tackle positions of their offensive line. Here is J.J. McCarthy. I thought this is some of the more fascinating audio that I've heard in the draft process. Because if you have like an agreement, like a hush-hush, wink-wink agreement, that we're going to draft you if you're there, and then you basically tell that to everybody, well, do you want to go to that team? Are you maybe trying to get someone else to move up for you? Here's J.J. McCarthy, though, on the Rich Eisen Show.
I have somewhat of an idea. New York Giants, I've spent the most time with. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a phenomenal staff. Love Coach Dable. Love, you know, Mr. Shane. Love Coach Tierney. Coach Kafka, mm-hmm. Chicago guy. Just being able to go in there, pretty much know like most of the install because Coach Dable came from Alabama and Coach Gaddis came to Michigan from Alabama. So it's similar mm-hmm. formations, motions, plays, all that stuff. So being able to get that install in has been great. You know, I met with them twice. It's been amazing.
I'd be surprised if it's the Pats. You know, we know that it's not the Commanders or the Bears. You know, Minnesota's going to try their hardest to move up. I think he knows that he's not, like you say that, I think he knows that he's not getting past 6. But then also it's like pick me, pick me, pick me kind of energy as well from J.J. McCarthy. Here is Deontay Johnson. So he gets traded from the Steelers to the Panthers. And I guess they had a big dinner with him and the brass in Carolina. And he admitted he had no clue who Dave Canales was, the head coach, as he was talking to him at this big fancy schmancy dinner.
Dave, he was cool. To be honest, I didn't know he was the head coach when I went out to dinner with him. Because he was just talking, like, there's his energy he brings. And then after the dinner, I'm like, somebody told me he was the head coach. I'm like, oh, I was so surprised. Like, but other than that, like, I love his energy. So, like I said, I'm excited to play for him.
Isn't that amazing? You get traded to a team. And you go to dinner. And when you sit down at that dinner, and the coach starts speaking, you had no clue who your head coach was. That's wild. Here is Dave Canales of the Panthers, their head coach, on Xavier Leggett. He is the wide receiver out of South Carolina, saying publicly that he guaranteed them that the Panthers, if he's still there with their second round pick, that yes, that's the selection. It would be Xavier.
I saw the video of Leggett saying that he's met with you guys 4 or 5 times, and yeah. You guys have told him if he's there at 33, you're taking him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a great conversation, you know. I definitely said that to him and about 50 other guys, you know. Like, man, so we take you at 33. It's actually a lead-in question. So when we draft you at 33, what happens now? And then there's a bunch of questions that happen after that, you know. So, part of the process.
He gives me a little creepy vibes, Dave Canales. Just when I hear him, like, when I first heard Mike McDaniel speak and how much of an open book he was, I'm like, a little bit creepy. And I ended up working out. Those are the vibes I get right now with Dave Canales. Let's hear this LSU fan who was hit in the head by a home run ball the other day.
I mean, it was on a rope. And, you know, I've been carrying this glove with me for years. And I was like, okay, now's my time. I got one coming. And holding the glove, man, what can I say? Beamed off my dome, and here we are. I've got a nice little goose egg.
Does it hurt?
It don't feel good. It felt like every bit of a 109-mile-an-hour fastball, home run ball, yes.
Did we get the ball afterwards? Or?
No, it skipped over the fence, but Josh Pearson came to toss me their toss ball that they do in between innings, so he tossed it to me. Probably Friday I'll go get Tommy White to sign it for me and maybe kiss my Bobo.
That's amazing. Did you see Russell Wilson the other day when he threw out the ceremonial first pitch at the Pirates game? He brought a glove. Come on, Russ. You can't be throwing out the first. I know you're a baseball player, but you can't be throwing out the first pitch with a glove. Fun show today. Big thanks to Samter. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to Brian Billick. Big thanks to Andrew Perloff as well, and each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow. And guess what tomorrow is? It's a football! That's right. NFL Draft Recap, round 2 and 3 preview. JR coming up next for the next 2 hours, and it's JR and Bart for the Infinity Sports Network NFL Draft Preview Show. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.